So we will, for now, we will be using. For now, we will be using the hard copies that we are having, that are in front of us until the system is sorted out. Is that fine? I think that is fine. All of us have got the copies with. We are here today because there is a process that has been engaged on in KZN where a member of the legislature, should I say, complained to the Human Rights Commission on the challenges that are faced in KZN around the issues of oncology and all that is entailed in that process in relation to patient care, which I can just say service delivery in that area in terms of patients. HR challenges and all, which includes the staff in that area of oncology. And then we received the report from the Human Rights. We felt that it followed the necessary processes that Parliament take to the speaker, came back to the committee, which is, that's why we're here today. And as the committee, we felt that it is important that we call the Human Rights to take us through this. So that's why we are here today. So we will, I think that is our business that is in front of us as the committee. That is just to welcome. We feel and we strongly believe that challenges of the sector in whatever angle that they are coming from, we have got that responsibility of listening to whoever. So that's why we are here, and we want to make everybody who is here today to be aware that we are really taking the matter very seriously. It's not just coming in front of the committee for the sake of coming in front of the committee, but it's for us to have that interaction with them. That is welcoming everybody that is here. We are then going to introduce ourselves. All of us that are here are going to introduce themselves. The house rules are, we use mics in introducing ourselves, name, surname, and which company or institution you are coming from. And how you will then be introducing yourselves depends on you. You are not going to, can't be prescriptive. Even guests that are here will have to use mic. Photos are not taken except those that are designated to do that, which are the media houses. Questions are only asked by the members of the portfolio committee to those that are making a presentation. And a response is expected from those that need a presentation. If somebody wants to have an interaction with somebody during break, you can do that. But in the normal proceeding, the two is the presenters and the members of the portfolio committee. My name is, before that, we are also joined by the complainant who will introduce himself from the KwaZulu-Natal legislature. I think I have, the honorable member from the DA wanted some clarities about his interaction. I consulted, but you must, just to remind everybody, legislatures where they participate and whatever, it's in the NCOP, but when then, because there is a process again after this one, where the department is also going to be involved, where we will then have to look into, we'll also invite the joint committee in the National Council of Provinces, the NCOP, where then they will be. So for now, he is, yes, he will introduce himself, but for now he'll be more like a guest and then an observer. In terms of interacting with the report, it will be then the members of the portfolio committee of the National Assembly on Health. So I just want everybody to be comfortable. We have explained that to him. He has acknowledged that, even we did say that even at the time that we are to invite, join with the NCOP, he is expected in this to join us. So that's where we are. I'm Lindelwa Tunjwa. I'm the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Health. Next to me is Vyokazi Majalamba, who's the secretary to the committee. At the extreme right, towards the end of the door, the last door, is Zubeus, our researcher. Next to him is Asanda, who is a researcher of the study group of the African National Congress. At the against the wall again, at the extreme, it's Mbali, who is the committee assistant. I will then hand over to honorable members to introduce themselves. After that, it will be the Human Rights Commission. After that, the department and all our guests. I don't know who is who, but I know there is somebody from the ministry. I know that we've got people from outside who are guests, but people will introduce. Please, your cell phones be on silent. If you want to answer it, you have. Feel free to, but they must not, our cell phones must not disturb our deliberations. Over to you, honorable members.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, members. My name is Lungiswa James. I'm a member of this committee. Unfortunately, our guests have already introduced themselves to you. Thanks, Chair.
Now, good morning to everybody. My name is Fish Mahlabela.
Ndumelang, ke ntate myself, aha myself, ke le lokola committee ya tsa bophelo mo parliament. Ke a leboha.
Good morning, Chair. My name is Mbulelo Nkonzo, a member of this committee.
Morning, everyone. My name is Donald Mapanga, a member of this portfolio committee. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Annette Stein. I'm a member of the Agriculture Portfolio Committee, and I'm sure I can participate, Chair, because any member can participate in any portfolio committee. Thank you.
In fact, sorry for
just
that.
To say health. And health can't work without agriculture. You need food to drink your tablets and all of that. So that's my interest here.
And agriculture can't work without health. Thank you very much. For my apologies. It was my oversight that you have got the right to participate as a member of the... Okay.
My name is Imran Kika, and I'm a member of the KZN Legislature.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Rachel Adams, member of the committee.
Good morning. My name is Matlubanzi Machamta, a member of this committee.
Good morning. Dr. Susan Tembekwaya, member of this committee.
Good morning, Chairperson. I'm Bongani Majola. I'm the Chairperson of the Human Rights Commission.
Good morning, Chairperson. My name is Kimisa Winnie, and I'm the Research Advisor to the Chairperson of this
Chair. My name is Chinua Jamanu. I'm the provincial manager for KZN Human Rights Commission.
Good morning, Chairperson and committee members. My name is Priscilla Jana, and I'm the deputy chair of the Human Rights Commission. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson, and very nice to see you again and all the other familiar members. I'm a former member of this house and now a commissioner of the South African Human Rights Commission.
Good morning, Chair and honourable members. I'm Fadla Adams. I'm a senior researcher in parliamentary and international affairs at the South African Human Rights Commission.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Courtney Shields, and I'm an intern with the South African Human Rights Commission.
Good morning, honourable Chair and honourable members. My name is Joe Kadler. I'm from the Ministry of Health.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Buiso Ndibongo. I am from Department of Environmental Affairs, Parliamentary Officer.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Sikhe Pezzi. I'm from ISD in the Speaker's Office.
Morning, Chair. I'm Felicia Lombard. I'm from Parliamentary Communication Services. I'm standing in for Ms. Lando. Was on my way to after this meeting.
Good morning, everybody. I am Salome Mayer, and I'm representing the Cancer Alliance, which is an alliance of all the cancer organizations in South Africa, so from a patient perspective. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Jane Ziala. I'm from PMG.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Professor Prince. I'm a DA researcher.
No, thank you. Thank you very much. What we will do, we'll hand over to you, Chairperson, to take us through.
Thank you, Chairperson, members of the committee. It is indeed a very big privilege for the Human Rights Commission to be invited to participate in this discussion of the oncology crisis in the province of KZN. I would like to start by apologizing because of the lateness of arrival. We had a meeting at the office of the Honorable Speaker of the House of Assembly, which dragged a little bit longer. And for that, we would like to apologize. It is well known that the Human Rights Commission has been investigating the matter of the oncology crisis in the province of KwaZulu-Natal, and that it has issued report with recommendations therein. I am pleased to hear that you have copies of the presentation I'm going to present. It goes as follows, that it was in February 2016, that we received a complaint from the KZN provincial legislature member, Dr. Imran Keka, the complaining relating to the denial of access to health care in the KZN province. And specifically, the complaint pointed out the insufficiency of equipment for treating, for radiotherapy treatment in the province and its negative impact on the patients who use the services in that province. Among others, it was pointed out that the Variant Rapid Arc Linear Accelerator machines, which in this document are referred to as the RALA machines, were not working. There were therefore delays because of that in the treatment of oncology patients, which was not only due to the lack of machines, but also the shortage of the relevant staff members. And the argument was that as a result, the department was failing to provide adequate health care as required in the constitution. According to our intake procedures, when we take complaints, we do the necessary assessment. We did that assessment to see whether or not prima facie the complaint appears to be violating human rights, particularly Section 27 of the Constitution, which provides for access, the right of access to health care. And then in May, we addressed the letter then to the Department of Health in the province, to which we received a response telling us that they had 22 CT scan machines, 18 of which were already 17 of which, sorry, were already installed, and with one which was to be installed in Golizana Hospital. And then there were four others that were to be distributed among four hospitals in the province, including the Addington Hospital, Grace Hospital in Middlesbrough, King Edward in Durban, and Ibangeni Hospital in the northern part of the province. And the hope was that these scanners were going to provide sufficient equipment for catering for oncology patients. We were then provided with information reflecting the status of existing scanners in place, and we were told that with regard to the maintenance, there were service agreements for 50% of these machines, and that the efforts to get service level agreements for the remainder of the machines were underway. And then when it comes to what I refer to as the RALA machines, in short, we were made to understand that there were two machines and that they were located in Addington Hospital, but that those machines were not working. I recall that in our discussions later with Dr. Romo, he confirmed our earlier findings that there was, a service provider was providing service to those machines, but they were on and off, broken and working and broken and working. But also on the side, there were certain investigations that the department was doing with regard to contracts relating to the maintenance of the machines, with regard to also the machines themselves. We addressed a further correspondence in August to the department because we thought that their answers were not very clear. and then we got in January this year, we got a response saying that the department had prioritized the expansion of its oncology services as well as animal in other hospitals. Again, not definite that this is what we have done. We accepted, we took this as meaning that these were just some plans that the government, that the provincial government was doing, and that they were making efforts to recruit oncology specialists to mitigate the shortage of oncologists in the hospital. We learned also that they had, in the effort to try and deal with the critical situation that had arisen as a result of the broken machines, as a result of the shortage of oncologists, they had then decided that they would combine the services that were rendered at Inkosi Albert Luthuli as well as at Dington Hospital, so that, you know, those services could be provided in one center. We became aware that, we were made aware, sorry, that the department was losing staff, and that we subsequently also learned that in June, the last oncologist left. The steps taken by the commission, we as the commission noted that despite the responses that were given, they did not again fully address the issues and concerns, because our main interest, it remains our main interest, is to see to it that the machines are working. And so we wanted the real status, the actual status of those machines, and also to know about the interim measures that were being taken to ensure that the machines were adequately maintained. On the other side, of course, there was the issue of the backlog that was building up, that had been building up and continuing to build up with regard to patients. And we needed to know what were the average times that the patients were waiting in order to receive the necessary treatment. We then got confirmation in March that the Vrala machines at Addington, the two Vrala machines in Addington Hospital, were not working, and that there were still some investigations that were going on in that regard. To see an oncologist, we were told that the patient has to wait for 4 months, and to receive radiotherapy, we were told that it takes about 8 months to wait. The department denied that these delays and backlogs of patients was caused due to the referral of patients from Addington Hospital. Instead, the department stated that the backlog in the treatment of oncology patients was caused by staffing constraints, including the shortage of oncologists and other and other professionals. We then did an inspection in loco at the Addington Hospital and at the Inkosi Albert Luthuli in February. During the inspections, we interviewed staff and patients. We established that the two Vrala machines were still not functional, and that all oncology patients were then referred to Inkosi Albert Luthuli. We also established that there is a big backlog in the provision of treatment to oncology patients. I am not going to dwell much on the legal framework. It is there in terms of the constitution and the other legislative norms. The findings of the commission were that the respondents had violated the rights of patients with cancer at Addington and Inkosi Albert Luthuli Central Hospitals to have access to healthcare services as a result of their failure to comply with applicable norms and standards as set out in the legislation and policies, by failing to evaluate and identify the need for functional equipment such as CT scanners and roller machines within a reasonable time, and for failing to procure, maintain, and put in place adequate functional equipment such as CT scanners within a reasonable time, failing to recruit, retain suitably qualified staff, including oncologists and radiotherapists, failure to monitor and evaluate the health needs of oncology patients in the province in time, to implement appropriate interim measures such as sufficient private public partnerships to meet those needs. The respondents' failure to provide access to adequate oncology service also violated interconnected rights such as the right to life as well as the right to dignity. The Commission then recommended, made the following recommendations that the respondents were required immediately to take steps to repair and monitor all the health technology machines, regardless of the contractual disputes that they yet had to deal with, because our argument was that lives were being lost. The Constitutional Court had repeatedly said that the right to dignity is one of the most important rights, the two rights, the right to life and the right to dignity, and we still believe also that those rights cannot be subjected to contractual rights for which the parties involved can get compensation through action in a court of law. So we felt therefore that these machines should be repaired. Secondly, we felt that it was important for the department to adopt measures to reduce the backlog, to attend to the backlog, to reduce and eliminate it. And we even said that the private partnership, the public partnerships, should be regarded, that they should adopt an interim referral management plan to facilitate the referral of patients to private service providers for screening. They were then required within 10 days to fulfill certain requirements, for example, to report on progress in recruiting the head clinical unit for oncology, specialist oncologists, all those that are mentioned there, to give us the status of immediate interim measures and action plan to be implemented to reduce the backlog in the provision of oncology services. And then the detailed plans that have been or will be implemented to sufficiently and effectively manage the current crisis in oncology services at Addington and Inkosi Albert Luthuli hospitals and throughout the province, including plans to communicate with known affected patients. And we said this because we appreciated that what was happening in the province actually could be affecting patients further than the Devon area. The process initiated by the department to engage the private sector to take on priority cases for both radiotherapy and chemotherapy. The details relating to the public-private partnership between the department and Impilo Consortium, we needed further details on that. In particular, the national department is required to report to the Commission on the success of these partnerships. The specific types of healthcare treatment that is provided to oncology patients who are currently awaiting radiotherapy and chemotherapy in the province, including transfers and the like. Addington and the Inkosi Albert Luthuli hospitals were required to furnish the Commission with certain information, detailed lists of the patients awaiting radiotherapy treatment at Addington and Inkosi Luthuli, including the duration of waiting periods for treatment, a list of cancer patients who have passed away while waiting for treatment or undergoing treatment at Addington at these two hospitals, including the causes of death of those patients. The department, in collaboration with the national department, is required to develop a strategy and a program to meet the current medical staffing challenges in KZN. Its human resources retention plan and immediate actions to attract and retain the relevant oncologists and other professionals, radiotherapists and other skills and specialists in the area. Details of service agreements for the maintenance of the health technology machines. This is very, very important because a lot of it hanged on the question whether or not these machines were functioning properly. The department was to evaluate and prioritize the expansion of oncology services to Gwelezane Hospital, and we were pleased to read in the newspapers that some progress has been made in that, together with a department was also required to prioritize capacity building at the administrative level and retention of professional health care workers, including specialists. In collaboration with the national department, it was also required to prioritize procurement of essential health technology machines for screening. Now, these two, in our view, were very, very important, because I think we thought that it was important that the department is able to properly manage the resources that it has, and also that it does procurement in a sustainable manner, rather than the manner in which the machines and the service agreements have been procured, which was not sustainable, and up to now the machines are not functional. We wanted a detailed time-bound plan for implementation of the recommendations within 30 days. The Commission, in addition to the parties' finished report to the speakers of both the National Assembly, KwaZulu Health, the KZN Provincial Health Council, the Office of the Ombud, and so on. The current status, Chairperson, we have received 3 responses from the Department of Health. The service provider responsible for Vrala machines was instructed to assess the 2 machines at Addington Hospital and report. And then the department held the meeting with the private sector in order to seek their assistance in the provision of oncology services. The agreements were made with Hopelands Oncology Group, as well as Rainbow Oncology Groups, to assist with seeing the patients. So these were steps taken towards meeting the recommendations of the the commission. Vacant posts had been advertised and no applications were received. We are unhappy as the commission with regard to this, because it just looks like there isn't much progress in filling the positions which are critical for providing the necessary health care to oncology patients. The backlog of patients from Addington Hospital who are currently awaiting the radiotherapy treatment was approximately 6 to 7 months. The backlog of patients from Inkosi Albert Luthuli who were awaiting radiotherapy treatment was 7 to 8 months. This is what we get as feedback, Chairperson, from the department. The KZN Provincial Treasury will be taking over the supply chain management and all SCM backlogs will be addressed by January 2018. The response, the July response, was that they met the company that supplies the Vrala machines, and it was agreed that they would be responsible then for keeping them operational. The SMAs for all health technology equipment would only be finalized once an assessment of the machines had been done. Vacant posts were again re-advertised. 28 July, the department received preliminary feedback from Varian indicating that one of the machines was repairable, but there was a problem with the other machine. Then on the 1st of July, JMH, a group of private oncologists, started consulting with patients at Ngwelizana Hospital and Lower Mfolozi. The department accepted a proposal from them to extend their assistance to patients in northern KwaZulu-Natal at a cost in their private rooms. The department is working with KZN Provincial Treasury to fast-track the procurement of medical equipment, and the process is ongoing. This is what we were told. The ongoing monitoring by the commission at Addington Hospital and at Chairperson, at the Inkosi Albert, is that the Vrala machines 9 months for new appointments for oncology patients. The department had secured the services of consultants from Rainbow Oncology to assist. However, these consultants attend only twice a week on a Tuesday and Thursday for a maximum of 2 hours each. Monitoring has been constrained due to full access being denied at aforesaid hospitals. I think I should end there, Chairperson, and thank you, and perhaps say that we will be available to the members to answer any questions that you may have. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair, honorable members. There is the presentation. Can I then get the first speakers? Honorable Tim McGuire, Honorable Ndaba, Honorable Mahlalela, Honorable James. You'll remind me your name. Honorable Stain. All right, in that order. Honorable Tim McGuire. Thank you very much. And thank you for the presentation done. And firstly, I would like to say the presentation itself, as it is about the report setting out findings and recommendations in respect of the complaint lodged by Dr. Ima Keka, confirms, in actual fact, the complaint relating to both the shortage of staff, specifically relating to oncologists, and a lack of functional health technology machines for screening, diagnosing, and treating cancer in the KZN province, and which definitely says, as 1.2 in the information that we received, that it has a negative effect on the provision of oncology services in the KZN. And furthermore, to state that enough evidence has been stated in different paragraphs, but referring to the information that we received yesterday, page 6, paragraph 4.2.6, that and paragraph page 6.2, page 7.4, that definitely confirms the shortage of oncologists and also supported by the case studies provided. But more specifically, I would have loved to comment on still as confirmation to the problem that exists. On page 11, about steps to be taken by the Commission, the Department of Health surprisingly denies that these delays and the backlog of patients was caused due to the referral of patients from Eddington Hospital and that thing. Obviously, on its own, it confirms obviously that there's a shortage, and at the same time, it confirms that there is a long waiting period of patients to see the oncologists, and we can also compare the same information with page 8 of the presentation that was done, which is also contradictory from the response of the DOH that says over the past 6 months it has lost 4 oncologists and 2 from the Eddington, and then obviously it concedes that the shortage of oncologists had a direct impact on the time the patients have to wait in order to access the treatment. That's why I say it's contradictory. They say it's not about that, but at the same time, in their own response, the DOH accept the fact that it's due to the shortage of that oncologists. And we can even still continue and also compare information on page 29 under the current status. Page 29 of the presentation, under the current status. That is also the response from DOH that says DOH has secured the services of consultants from Rainbow. However, consultants only attend to patients twice a week. So obviously, if even though they have secured services of consultants from Rainbow Oncology Services to assist, but the mere fact that they are able to see the patients for 2 weeks only, it also adds to a long waiting period of the patients to be seen by the oncologists. And from my point of view, there is a problem to say there's a shortage of oncologists. And at the same time, it was mentioned that oncologists left their services from the province. Vacant posts have been advertised. The result is no oncology is interested in applying for that post. My advice is maybe you can make a study about the oncologists that left the province, just to find out from them what is it that makes them to leave those services at KZN. Maybe the reasons that they give can give you light into how to restructure the advertisements of a vacant post pertaining to the securing of oncologists. Because the situation as it is right now, there is no promise that there will be some oncologists that will be interested in coming to serve in hospitals in KZN. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, let me welcome the presentation or the report. I think, Chair, we have heard from the Commission what are the findings. With regards to the investigations that they have done. But I think we need to know with regards to the service maintenance agreement that the department had a dispute on what exactly were the challenges related to that. And then in terms of the recommendations that they have made to the department, are the recommendations binding? And what are the consequences of not complying? My third question, Chair, how many patients were affected by this whole incident? And how many died due to lack of sufficient oncology services? But also, Chair, one is interested to know what then is the role of the Health Office of Health Standard Compliance and Ombudsman. Because in Gauteng, with Life Assessment, we saw there were investigations that were done by Ombudsman and there were recommendations, there were a lot of consequences, there were a lot of things that happened. But with regards to this one, what is the role, or what was the role of Health Office of Health Standard Compliance and Ombudsman? And Ombudsman. Thank you very much, Shepherd.
Honourable Mashalis.
No, thanks very much, and welcome the presentation by Human Rights Commission. Well, understand. I just want to understand what is the net expectation of the Human Rights Commission from us as members in relation to this report. I'm raising this because in your last section, 10.4, you are such as saying now the report will be furnished to the speakers of both the National Assembly and provincial legislatures of KZN. But there's no indication what is an expectation on your side once that report is before us. So that we then understand whether there's any particular expectation that you expect from us. That's one. The second issue, Chair, is around the failure of the first, second and fourth respondent to respond to the Commission. I don't see you making any observation around that matter. Does that mean you are comfortable about their failure to respond? Because we are not saying anything about it. You are fine that it didn't respond. And if you are not fine, why didn't you make a recommendation so that at least they are able then to take your matter serious, so that then we understand, so that we were in the same understanding that when such matters are presented by the Human Rights Commission, people must take it serious. And the only way of taking serious is to have consequences for some who fail to do so. Does that mean that you are not making any recommendation because you're fine with it, or it doesn't have any consequence in any way? So whether you make recommendation or not, it's immaterial. So that's why you just left it like that. I'm saying this because it's worrying, especially for the fourth respondent not to have responded to stay missing, so that you at least have the political head's understanding of why do we find ourselves in the situation that we find ourselves in KZN, from his point of view, which it's not being provided because it didn't respond. And then the other interest, just to understand, when you were visiting the two hospitals, was it a surprise visit or was it a properly arranged visit? I'm raising in the context that in both hospitals, you could not find the COs. So that they were able to understand whether it was a surprise visit, so they were not expecting you. Hence, they didn't honor your coming there. Or it was you did make an appointment, inform them, and deliberately decided not to be there. So that we've got an understanding, so that when we call them, they must explain why they treated you in this way. And we can only make them account if we understand whether it was a surprise visit or it was a pre-arranged visit, but they decided not to come. Somewhere on page 62, there is a reflection, but I'm not sure whether it's not under finding, but it's a reflection. A reflection that says National Department of Health has failed to take reasonable measures to realize the rights of human, the right of access to health care in KZN. My question is, how did you arrive at that conclusion? Because they have not been cited as a respondent in the report. Was it an omission that they were not cited, but they were engaged? And if they were engaged, what was their views on this matter? And if they were not engaged, how did you arrive at the conclusion that they failed? That we just have the same understanding. And then, how do you explain page 57? So it's just a clarity. Page 57 vis-a-vis page 9 of the report. On page 57, you are saying none of the reasons provided for high function admissions and poor maintenance was irrefutably attributed to resources constraint. And I would have thought that the resource constraint include both human and financial. And my understanding is that they raised a shortage of staff as an issue, as one matter, which is the resource constraint, is a human one. But on page 9, they raise an issue around scarce resources on page 9. They raise an issue of scarce resources which then forced them to engage into cost containment exercises. I want us to reconcile the two, because for me they don't relate to each other. They are contradictory in my view. You can just clarify that. There's a resource constraint on page 9. They also indicated a resource constraint in relation to the staff. But you are saying on page 57, none of the reason provided in relation to this poor service was related to resource constraint. You can just clarify that so that we're able to have the same interpretation and understanding of the issues that you are raising in the report. And then the other issue that is in relation to what Honorable Tembewayo raised, but I want to raise it differently. Have you on your own made an assessment and satisfied with the reasons behind the shortage of staff that was given by them? To say no, the staff shortage is the result of people being attracted into the lucrative salaries in the private sector. Have you ascertained as a commission that the issue that they are raising is valid? I'm raising this because private sector has been there for years. It's not something that has just emerged recently that you've got a private sector. private sector was also there. So that we've got the proper diagnosis as to where lies the problem. Because it might not be lying into what they are raising. But we can only arrive at a determination if we make our own independent assessment to the extent to which this becomes therefore true. And then the other issue is it's around the question of the extent to which you have your understanding around the lack of proper service maintenance agreement beyond what you have been told by them, which resulted in the disputes and therefore machines not being maintained. What has been your own independent analysis to say what is the main reason for that dispute? And what has been your understanding why 50% of the machines didn't have a service level agreement, from your own understanding, so that when we engage them at some particular point, we're able to contrast the two views around this matter of service maintenance agreement. And then maybe to put it differently from how Honorable Ndaba put it, you've got the Office of the Health Complaints Standard. Have you interacted with them to share notes about your findings? They are also responsible for making sure there is compliance. So when we decide, for example, to call them as well, we must have an understanding the extent to which they were able to share the same information with yourself, and you are all having the same understanding of the challenges. And then the last issue, Chair. It's where you are raising that you are convinced that because of this investigation, you are convinced that the problem is bigger than what the two hospitals. And therefore you are of the view that you must undertake a comprehensive investigation into the whole health, not sure whether the whole health system or specifically the oncology services in KZN. Just to understand whether you've begin to look into that area and started to work towards a process of having that comprehensive investigation into the totality of the health services in KZN, so that we are able to have a bigger picture than having this piecemeal arrangement, so that when there is a comprehensive intervention, an intervention that becomes comprehensive, and we're able therefore to address the totality of the challenges that confront the health system in KZN. Thanks.
Honorable James, it will be Honorable Stein, and the last will be Honorable Mashali. Myself, I'm sorry.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. On page 14, your findings. We are saying the respondents violated the rights of patients with cancer and addicting to have access to care, to health care services as a result of failure to comply with applicable norms and standards as set out in legislation policies by, as you've been stated down. I'm just saying now for patients, what rights do these patients that are affected, do they have? Are there any legal action taken by these patients? Is there any hope that they can be assisted against the department? And in terms of Ngwelizane Hospital now, servicing the patients, are there any times agreed upon on how are they going to continue doing the service for auditing? Is it a year, 6 months? Are there any times agreed upon? And also the voluntary involvement of private sector, how long is that going to be? Can the patients rely on that? On the assistance rendered by the private sector? Also, I'm just interested, why didn't the MEC answer when HISC went to meet to ask about the crisis of the oncologists? And Chair, you know, this has been coming on for a while, if we remember very well. I think when we had a presentation from the Standing Committee on Appropriations in March this year, this came up, that there was poor record keeping for maintenance, also and on repairs of equipment. So this has been coming on for a while. My concern is that how is the Department of Health in KZN going to be able to get oncologists to be attracted to that province after this whole saga that was in the media? How are they going to be able to get oncologists? I think Honorable Fish has made it, I think it has raised a very good solution, that they should go back and go try and find from the oncologists that have left, because they were complaining in the media. They had no other platform to complain from. And this is where they will get into the bottom of really what happened. And we all know it's been in the media. And as you have been engaged with the department, do they have any plan in place to retain the oncologists that they have currently in KZN and also those that will come?
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for the presentation, Chair, and I think we also need to thank the Human Rights Commission for preparing this report and taking the crisis in KZN serious. Chairperson, maybe it's because I'm not sitting in this portfolio every week and get so used to the departments coming and, you know, telling stories and lies and all kinds of things. I'm sure it's the same in this portfolio. It's nothing different in the agriculture portfolio. And that we kind of get almost nonchalant about what it is that we're dealing with. I read this Human Rights Commission report, Chair, and I also had a discussion with Honorable Kicken, who has raised the issue. And I've asked him, obviously, if there's a report or a submission to the Human Rights Commission. It's not on that day that something happened. It must have come for years before that. And he explained to me that he asked questions to the MEC of Health in KZN since 2014. And by 2014, there was already a problem. So this thing is coming for years. It's not even months or a year or whatever. It's years. Honorable Kirkan has asked questions in KZN legislature asking the minister, the MEC, how many patients has died in the hospitals in KZN just from cancer. In 2 years, it was 460 patients. So I think, Chairperson, we need to remind ourselves that we are talking about human life, people. Cancer is could be treated if we pick it up early. The whole story of the KZN saga, to me, is a story of neglect, of people not caring for the life of people. So, Chairperson, I agree with all the questions that was asked here. I think it's the technical things, it's the things that we need to get answers from the department from. But I would like to ask the Human Rights Commission, what is the role of the National Minister? In your report, you did mention that also the National Minister must take responsibility. We can't sit and talk about patients dying, no services being provided, and then there must be something in the Constitution, or even if it's not in the Constitution. We're talking about people's lives. We sit here and talk about, you know, this not working and that not working and what, but there must not be something that must force people to take responsibility. Chair, we don't want another scenario that we had with Gauteng when after years and years we find out people are dying. We knew about this. So I want to know, what is the responsibility of the National Minister in this case? I want to know if the MEC of Health received this document and did he sign off on those reports that were sent back to the Human Rights Commission on those three occasions, as I can understand. Chairperson, also, I am aware that the MEC in KZN made light of the report. So he must have seen the report at some stage, because he said in the media that it's superficial, the report. There is nothing really in there. So if the MEC doesn't take the report serious, it's no wonder that whoever signed off on the report lied, because it's very clear, Chair, if you look and read what the Human Rights Commission responses are, that they said this, and if you we got this, Chairperson, I'm sure, as an extract out of the report, where the Commission has found something and then the Department of Health replied to say it's factually incorrect and this is not correct and that is not correct and it's incorrect that a list of stores shortages of staff is a challenge, and then. So the Human Rights Commission, to me, it seems like they are keep on going back to check on this, and that every time they find whatever the Department of Health has responded is incorrect. So, in short, Chairperson, the Department of Health in KZN is lying. They're lying to the Human Rights Commission. And they are lying about the health and the safety and lives of people. So for me, it's a really very, very, very serious issue that I think, Chairperson, maybe as a portfolio, we need to take it up maybe to the Speaker and say, if the portfolio then can see in the response from the Human Rights, so it's not even that, you know, it needs to be investigated. It comes out of the answers. So I would like to find out from the Department of, from the Human Rights Commission, when you go back and you see that the answers that was given to you by the Department of Health and what you then find in the hospitals again is not the same, what then? Can a Human Rights Commission then say, I know we're not supposed to say lying, Chair, but I still don't understand what to say if people are actually lying to you. So, but I think we get the drift. And there's a few of those examples. I'm not going to state those. I would also like to find out, someone mentioned that if they could find out what is the reasons why KZN Health are unable to find or recruit specialists I think people must obviously know that there's a problem in KZN and no one wants to apply there, but did anyone ask them what the reasons was for that? And then Chairperson, just also last week, the Portfolio Committee of Health in KZN went to visit those hospitals as a follow-up, and all those machines are still not working. There's still no specialist there. I want to find out from the Human Rights Commission, because it's broken down in the different hospitals, what currently, what oncology health or doctors is available for patients in KZN. So if someone today in KZN suspects, or a local GP wants to refer them, where are they going to? Are we rendering the whole of KZN now almost without any hope, or what is currently available, so that we can also just look at the bigger picture and not just at each hospital? Because I can't really make out what is available, because to me it seems like there's a lot of lies of something that's available that's not available. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Well, a lot has been said by my colleagues here. I just want to actually highlight one or two things, that the reason why we have this crisis of oncologists is because it's not like any other medical training where it's part of the routine medical training at undergraduate level. It's only when you join the department after qualifying, and then you start learning about oncology, and you are not allowed to do anything on your own unless under strict supervision of a specialist, which is mandatory. So if the specialist resigns, the department loses its accreditation. So you have a problem of actually having to get the specialist first before you can get learners who can come to the department. So it is a very specialist type of situation where doctors don't flock into such department to go and learn. And as a result, one specialist leaving a facility makes it to close. And there is no way you can replace, and the students cannot do anything on their own without the specialist is mandatory. So they will also have to shut down their business and go. And now that's the reason why at certain place, facilities, once a specialist, for one reason or another, is unable to practice there anymore, either through resignation or whatever, they close shop, and the students must migrate somewhere. And so students don't like to take something that is not going to guarantee that they will finish their course, they will see their course through. So they would like to have something which gives them part of security. And that's the reason why we're having all these problems in as far as oncology is concerned. And also, it looks like there is an overwhelming reliance on scanners and things like that. It looks like everything is scanners for oncology treatment, and it is far from that. There are lots of tests that need to be carried out by various specialists at different points, which also help in the diagnosis of cancer. You have a histopathology, for instance. You don't just find anybody around there who's a specialist in diagnosis using histopathology and the hematology and other stuff. You have a lot of different tests that must be done by different and interpreted by different specialists that makes the whole thing workable. So when you say in 10 days' time or in a month's time, you must have had filled up the posts that are vacant, you must recruit. It's a very tall order. It actually is like sentencing some people to, I don't know, to what, because it is not possible. They may have the best will in the world, and if there are no students who would take a chance of go to a facility to go and learn, then there is just no way you can find anybody coming into that particular facility. So it is a matter of all departments, all stakeholders agreeing on the best possible way of doing these things instead of having a blaming game here. I think doctors' whole preoccupation is to save lives, not to abandon lives or to say we don't have a scanner. And according to this, it's a report from the department. The schedule of the patient's flow at these facilities, it's normal. There's nothing abnormal about this. But it looks like people go there and spend 9 months without being seen by anybody. If that is the case, the patient would have been transferred to another facility if there is nobody to help at that particular facility. You can't say one day we'll get a specialist and open the facility again, and then we can start treating patients. It doesn't work. So let's work together and try and find out what is the best possible way of solving this problem. Thanks.
Honorable Justice.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, on mine is only one thing. I just need the clarity on one thing. I just want to know if this report is forecasting to KZN as a province or is limited only mainly to the two hospitals that the complaint was lodged. I'm raising that, Chair, because I'm really confused, because very little mention is made with reference to other districts in the province, but more focused is on the two hospitals. But at the end, we say the report is for the province.
Thank you very much. I'm going to ask a very unfair question, but I'm raising it because I think Honorable Mai said has put it correctly in terms of specialists, in terms of the site, which I'm sure as the human rights will also be empowered. In conducting this, I just want to check, in the Human Rights Commission, do you have people that have got health expertise? So that they can then be able, what Honorable myself was trying to outline, in terms of what really transpired, in terms of the sector. Now talking about specifically specialists, right across the health sector, not only oncology. I can make an example. I won't say which province. There is a list of patients that are waiting to be done orthopedic surgery. But the problem is that they have got a shortage of orthopedic surgeons. I'm just making an example. It's something that you really can't, because doctors decide which area in health. Either one will be more interested in anesthesia, one will be interested in general health, one will be interested in general surgery. You don't, when they pass you all, put them in oncology. That's the unfortunate part. And I'm not trying to be defensive here, I'm just putting a picture. Two, there is in the presentation, I think what Honorable Jafka is raising,
in the response by the department, I think through the HOD, is outlining the challenges in terms of all regions in KZN. I was born before technology. He's painting a picture of giving us the challenges. Grey Hospital is happening there. The center cares for entire western region of the province, which includes Mgungu Ndlovu, Uthukela, Amajuba, Ugu, Sisonke. And personally, I would have appreciated if the report is giving us the entire picture of the regions, districts in KZN. I don't think it is fair. I'll make this comment the other time. Because in the presentation there is no response, that there is no indication that there has been a response from the Department of Health, the HOG, who is here. And I'm not going to be judgmental and say he's telling the truth or he's not telling the truth, but he's quoting that in this paragraph, it is not factually true that ABCD is happening. Have you gone back to him after receiving that? I think honorable members have got copies, have got hard copies. I'm struggling here to, because I want to quote that, yes. I want to quote that that area. Sorry for that, honorable members. Because I'm finding it a bit, if there's somebody who has got a copy. Oh, okay. Paragraph 6.2. Paragraph 6.13.15. The HOD is saying it is factually incorrect to state that on the 16th February 2017. So, without going word by word, my question is again: Have you interacted with him to say, in terms of this report, this is why we are saying ABCD? I'm raising it because you are coming into conclusions, and there is no indication that we received this at a particular time, and this is what at the time that the report was then submitted to the office of the speaker, this is what we have done. I would have appreciated, maybe I'm a bit unfair because I'm from the sector, I would have appreciated if there has been a study by the Human Rights Commission in terms of the challenges, not starting from 2014, because 2014 is yesterday, right beyond 2014, to say this is what has been here, this is what we have observed, this is the report we got as we conducted our investigation, this is what has happened, so that we do have a picture. Not a picture from 2014. Remember that this sector is a sector that has got a history. And it is important that in KZN, unfortunately it is, that is then a pilot, we do have an understanding. And 2014, in my view, and it's not because I'm insensitive, it's yesterday. If then we are determined to correct a challenge in the province, I would have thought that the Human Rights Commission have said, we conducted the study, we researched what has happened in KZN in the last 10 years in this area of oncology. It's going to be very difficult if we think that posts are to be advertised, processes are to be followed, but that I don't want to labor on what Honorable my seller has raised in terms of the situation. I don't think it will be. I think for now what we will do because we have asked quite a number of intense questions. We'll break for tea, come back at, I hope it's ready, come back in the next 10 minutes to give you time to rearrange who's going to respond on where, so that when we come back, we do get a response from you. Okay. Thank you. Tea's ready. I'm sorry, you are invited to tea, but it's just to give you time so that you are able to rearrange your questions. Honorable Tembekwai. Okay.
Thank you very much. I just needed to add one last question in connection with monitoring. Monitoring on page 16 under recommendations, it was said repair and monitor all the health technology machines. But on page 29 under current status, it is said monitoring has been constrained due to full access being denied at the aforesaid hospitals. So my question is, if full access has been denied, how is monitoring going to be conducted fully? And who's doing that? Who's denying who to do that? Under whose instruction? Thank you.
No, thank you. Thank you very much. We'll break for tea and we'll come back at 11:30.
I network la. Thank you.
Honourable Members, can we then now, are you ready for comment, for response to questions? Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Members of the committee, once more, I'd like just to express our gratitude for being given an opportunity to consult. We will try the best we can to answer all the questions. I will ask my colleagues and the head of the office in Durban, KZN, to also chip in and answer. I'd like just to first...
Sorry, Chair, sorry, I forgot to say. Where you, in terms of responses, if you think that you don't have an available response now, reflect on that so that we then advise you on how to do. So I'm trying to say you are not going to be forced to give whatever response. If in other areas you are not ready, it's fine. Reflect on that, then we'll advise when we close on what to do.
Yes. Thank you, Chairperson. Members of the committee, I would like just to start by painting a small context in which the commission finds itself now. It's a new commission which was appointed by the president on the 2nd of December last year, and it started work on the 3rd of January this year. So that's where we come from. We went to see Madam Speaker of the National Assembly today. Unfortunately, she's away, but we saw the deputy because of the serious financial constraints within which the Commission is working, and we're looking at possible solutions to that. And we're very pleased with the understanding that the Honourable Deputy Speaker showed of the situation of the Chapter 9 in general, but also in particular the Human Rights Commission vis-a-vis the very wide mandate that the Commission has, because we, under the, among the Chapter 9s, have the widest mandate. So whatever we do within that context. I would like then to take some of the questions, and my colleagues will take other questions. And please excuse me if I jump and do not follow the sequence, but we will try to cover all the questions that we can. The service management agreements, and the question was what were the challenges relating to them, to those. We did not go into that question, and our mandate does not require us to go into that mandate. Departments must be allowed to manage their affairs as they deem fit. We are not government. We are a human rights organization. Our job in terms of the Constitution is to monitor what they do, not to go deep into the watercourt. What we know about the SMAs is what we learned from the officials in the department and from Dr. Romo himself, who explained that they entered into these, they were cheated by a supplier here, and so on. It would have served no purpose for our execution of our mandate to go into the terms of any of those agreements, because we wouldn't be able to do anything about them. What we are required by the Constitution is slightly different, so we did not go into that. With regard to the question whether our recommendations are binding, Commissioner Gaum will attend to that question. So I am reserving it to him. He will get back to it after me. With regard to how many patients have died, it is information we are trying to get from the KwaZulu-Natal Department of Health, and I must say we have not been able to get that information. So we actually do not know exactly how many. We have read in the newspapers that some patients have died. We've heard some of the staff members telling us that some patients have died, but we have not officially got official report from from the department. What role did the health ombud play in the actual investigation? The health ombud did not play much of the role, and I would like to explain why, Chairperson, with your permission. It's because what we were dealing with was not medical. As the commission, we are dealing with factual issues as to whether the machines are working. And if the machines are working, it follows, therefore, that those machines can be used by the oncologists. The question is whether are they oncologists and are they enough? And again, it is not a medical issue. It's a simple issue of fact, whether they are oncologists or there are no oncologists, and are they sufficient, and as a result of that being so many, how long do people wait in order to get attended to? That is the level at which we operated. Tanuja, the program manager, will deal with the liaison with the health standards compliance and so on. But I'd like just to say that I do hold frequent discussions with the health ombudsperson about a variety of things, and I have occasionally had discussions with him about this to get his own views about how he sees some of the things, his advice as to what he thinks we could look at, and we have followed on some of those things. So there is an ongoing, I must say, not yet formalized working relationship with the health ombud. The question was asked, what is the expectation of the commission from this commission? And I'd like to say that we're very grateful for that question. Because I think that the success of the work of Chapter 9 institutions, including the Commission, can only succeed if it has the support of Parliament through its committees. We can investigate, we can make findings, but Parliament ultimately has the oversight responsibility to check that the executive does what it is expected to do in terms of the legislation and the policies that the Parliament has adopted. We would expect that the Parliament, the legislature, would call the department, the health department in KZN, and hear from them why. We have been, I have been informed reliably that there was also a forensic investigation done at the instance of the department itself into these problems that lead to the machines not being repaired. And that the forensic report, which I am in the process of trying to acquire myself from the Office of the Premier, that the report found that there were certain irregularities that were done and recommended that certain people be charged. I think that this committee or Parliament would be interested in following up on that so that, one, there is accountability for the resources that could have gone towards the promotion of access to health care for certain people suffering from cancer in KZN. And Parliament may also use this in order to decide how to make sure that these are monitored so that they don't recur in the future, and what measures to put in place so that these do not recur in the future. It will help us also if this committee, where it is convinced that our recommendations are sound and reasonable, to insist on the province to say you need to deal with this, because ultimately all of us are trying to serve the people of this country, and that if a recommendation moves towards providing the necessary services to the people that we are all here to serve, it is something that it would need to be supported. There was the question as to what is the status of the refusal of the province to respond, some of the respondents to respond to our preliminary findings. Our Act, the South African Human Rights Commission Act, is clear that a government organ is given up to 60 days within which to respond, after which we can make our finding. So on the one hand, failure to respond means therefore that you don't have anything to present in opposition to the allegations against you, and that is not necessarily a criminal offense, because if you don't have something to present, you don't. We are not suggesting that they are not breaking any laws whatsoever. Our main concern really is the fact and the reports that come from Durban to us on an ongoing basis, that is that people are dying, and the right to life is one of the most important rights. As a Human Rights Commission, we feel that we need to prioritize things, and we need to deal with those that need urgent attention. And as far as we're concerned, the repair of the machines, the recruitment of the oncologists and other officials or professionals is the most important thing that we can do for the oncology patients, because then they can have access to treatment, their waiting period to access treatment can be reduced. The issue of them not responding to us is an issue that we can attend to at any time at a later stage, but for now it is not the most urgent. For us, what is most urgent is that these machines should be working, and that there should be people to operate those machines, and that the waiting periods for people should be reduced drastically. Dr. Lomo flew, after we issued the report, flew to Johannesburg and sat with us. And one of the things he told us was that cancer is a very, very, very delicate thing, because if you are going to delay even for a short period of time, it spreads, it becomes a cancer that is otherwise treatable, very soon becomes untreatable. So it is very important that action is taken as soon as possible, and we think he is right, and we agree with him in that respect. Excuse me. There is a statement in paragraph 8.37 that says the National Department of Health failed to take reasonable steps and so on. And the question was very rightly asked on what basis the Commission came to that conclusion. And I'd like to take the responsibility for that statement as the chairperson of the Commission. It was left in the draft by mistake. Dr. Mzwaledi was not cited. He was not made aware of the investigation. No allegations were sent to him to answer. And the whole body of our report does not deal with the National Department as requiring them to answer to anything. And therefore, in law, it is a statement that does not have a basis, it is one of those things that in a draft need to be cleaned up, but stays and so on. And I apologize for that error and so on. If you note our findings, do not include this, you know, because those are the ones that we regard as binding. They do not include this because it was not intended to be part of our findings. Our recommendations also do not include this because it was not part to be, it was not intended to be part of our recommendations. Then the next question was with regard to oncologists and staff leaving the department and being attracted elsewhere. And there is a lot of speculation as to why people go. There's been speculation that they are getting better salaries elsewhere and many other, what you call. But we have spoken with staff in these hospitals. We've spoken with patients and so on. It's very clear that oncologists left because they are frustrated. If you are a specialist and you have patients that you think you can save and they come to you and you say, listen, your tumor is still manageable, it can be cut, it can be whatever. However, you do not have the machines to measure the size of the tumor. You do not have the machines to shrink the tumor to enable it to be cut out, and you've got to wait for 9 months. And by the time you can come back, and the tumor is now so big that you cannot cut, it has metastasized and gone to other parts of the body. Then it is frustrating, and so many of the oncologists have left because they think that they are working in vain in KZN. The conditions, the other conditions of service, we were told, are also not conducive. The other professionals have also said that they are leaving because, for example, the procurement of medication. You find that there is some medication that you look for and you cannot find medication. The people who are working in partnership with the KZN department. for example, the Hopelands group, they say that one of the reasons why there are no oncologists is because the recruitment patterns in the department sometimes are such that when people apply for jobs, there are very flimsy reasons even for not employing people who qualified even from the same hospitals. And therefore people go elsewhere because the department does not have a rigorous recruitment policy that is impartial and makes people, you know, and accept people and so on. So it's a variety of reasons why the oncologists and other specialists are leaving the department. One of the professionals in the KZN was saying that the other frustration that they have is that when there is a change in the political head, the new political head will come with new programs, and those programs on which they have spent 45 million, 100 million, and so on, then get dumped, and then people have to start new things and whatever. So the problems, there are many problems in there. So it is not correct to simply say that people are attracted by salaries elsewhere. There needs to be a thorough review of the conditions of service, the management of the departments by people who understand management, the procurement, and so on. All those factors would help. If scanners are frequently breaking down, if there is lack of training, for example, some left in one of the hospitals because the Primus machines that were purchased were purchased and put in the hospital with very little training, and people couldn't use them. You know, the machines also, the specifications are much slower. They are less accurate in imaging the tumors of the patients and so on. All this builds up to frustrations and making people leave to places where they can get better equipment, which can, you know, can be used much more effectively to help the patients. The question was whether we've checked what is our own understanding of these service management agreements. I would like to say no, we have not, for the reasons that I've already mentioned, Chairperson, that we are not in a position to do that, but also it is slightly outside our mandate, because we're not checking on the correctness or otherwise of those agreements. For our purposes, people should have access to health care, and access to health care has to come. Section 27 says that the state has to take progressive measures to make access available, and the state in this case seems to have done that. They've made money available to do that, and it's up to the managers then to buy the right machines, to get the service agreements, to provide transport for those machines, to cleaners for those machines, filters or what have you, all that, you know, we cannot go into that. All we would like to see is that they do that which is necessary for the machines to work and to work properly. They should have staff properly trained to operate those machines. They should have proper procedures for taking in patients and dealing with patients and so on, to have access to health care. Then there was the question of whether we would undertake a bigger or more comprehensive view of the health services in KZN. When we got in and we heard of the Eddington matter, one of my views was that we need to do a comprehensive investigation of healthcare in KZN, because of the information we were receiving, but also because of what we were seeing ourselves. However, there was then the intervening crisis that oncology patients were dying, and we had again, because now the loss of life was being threatened much more urgently, we had to stick with the oncology investigation. That is why in 8.38 we do state on page 62 that we reserve the right to do a much more comprehensive investigation. The other constraint, of course, is the resources that I mentioned in the beginning, that we depending on resources. I must say that we shouldn't also see KZN is the only province in respect of which we need to do investigation. If we had the resources, we would have started investigations in health in other provinces, because there are problems in other provinces. For example, during the investigation of the oncology problem in KZN, and during our meeting with Dr. Lomosh, he said one of his problems is that patients from the Eastern Cape cross over into KZN and they utilize the facilities, and they put pressure on the facilities in KZN. And we've had our own reports on the situation in the Eastern Cape. I'm not saying we're going to investigate the Eastern Cape. I'm just saying that there are other provinces, both east, south, and north of the country, that we may have to look at individually in order to understand many of the dynamics that happen there, so as to make recommendations with a view to improving access to healthcare in those provinces. everyone has got the right of access to have the health care, provided, of course, that the state shall make progressive measures to make those rights realizable. And that section has been interpreted by the Constitution in Grootboom, in Supramani, in the Treatment Action Campaign, and so on. What the patients can do is the patients can bring urgent applications to the High Court and ask for specific orders against the government, against the department, to facilitate access to health care. Throughout our investigations with KZN and throughout our discussions personally over the phone and by paper with the MEC for health in KZN, he has never mentioned to us that we have a shortage of resources. He has not said so. His view is that there is a problem with the management of those resources, that there is corruption that has come into the picture, that there is mismanagement, that there are people who have cheated the government, the provincial government, and so on, but never that there are no resources. So my sense is that the patients, if they do have the means to litigate, yes, they can litigate, and I think successfully. The problem is that these are poor people, because people who have money, they go to private healthcare providers. These are poor people. The South African Human Rights Commission has the mandate, has the power to litigate on behalf of people. The problem is, as I said, that it then boils down to the availability of resources for the commission to bring litigation in this regard. We are considering litigation, if I may say, in the case, in the current case, the KZN case. I am not at liberty to talk more about it because we're still engaging with the legal representatives. Then the Ngwelezane arrangement, of course, the Ngwelezane arrangement, the provincial government is paying for it, but it's on a trial basis for a period of 3 months so as to check the feasibility, the sustainability, and all that. And once that has been established, I think that then longer-term agreements will be entered into with the government. There is a question whether the department has got any plan to retain oncologists. Of course, they no longer have. They no longer have oncologists. We tried to engage the government with regard to the overall human resources plan. They did give us something, but not conclusive. Again, exacerbated by the fact that they advertise and they come back saying nobody applied or nobody, what have you, it's a little bit of a difficult problem. But no, as far as we're concerned, we do not know whether they have a plan, and if they do have a plan, whether that plan is a good plan that will ensure the sustainability of the provision of health care to the oncology patients. Chairperson, may I then go to the issue about from the Honourable Maisela, and I'd like to thank him for the suggestion that it is better to come together and not throw blame around and see how we can move together forward. Since we started as the new commission, we have been going to the cabinet ministers to sing exactly the same message, to say Our view as the new commission is that we can achieve more if we can join forces together and work together. And that if it is possible for us to work together, we would like to have a memorandum of understanding as to how we're going to work together in order to be able to achieve what we're supposed to achieve for the people that we're all trying to work, to serve. And so I embrace what Honorable Maisela is saying, but not all the way up to a particular point. Our job is not to work with people all the time. Our job also includes monitoring that rights are being observed. Where we think rights are threatened or violated, our job is to protect those rights. Our job is also to promote the observance of rights. So somewhere we have to part ways with our partners. This is a typical case where we cannot wait until the KZN government comes back to say, all right, we are repairing the machines. They have to repair the machines because people are dying. And it's our job as the Human Rights Commission to see to it that the rights mentioned in Section 27 of the Constitution are observed, not tomorrow, now, unfortunately. So while I agree with this sentiment, I in this particular case, I cannot agree. We have gone since February last year to the department. We have asked some of them to respond to some of the preliminary findings. They ignored it and so on. So yes, they have to. We have to take the route that we are taking. And any commission that whose job it is to protect rights would go in the same way that we are going. And then the question was whether this report is limited mainly to the two hospitals, because there is very little mention of the other districts in KZN. It is absolutely true that it is limited to a group of hospitals that provide oncology services in KZN. And those hospitals are in the south and with Gwelezane in the east of the province. So we are focusing on them, and the reason why we are not looking at other districts is because those districts do not provide oncology services to patients. I have previously said, Chairperson, that we have reserved the right to look at the global health situation in the province. When we do that, yes, of course we'll look at all the districts and we'll look at every nook and cranny and come with a finding that, you know, relates to that. Chairperson, you asked whether the Commission has people with health specialists, specialties. No, we do not have, unfortunately. We do rely on organizations that provide health specialties from time to time, but the Commission itself does not have. We have, for example, SDMENI, which is a detention center for foreign migrants. Lindela, my apology, you know, Lindela, we do rely on some of the organizations that provide medical services. But as I said earlier on, we do not think that we need medical expertise in this particular situation. I'd like just to agree with you, Chairperson, that, medical specialist services in this country are very limited. We've got a big shortage in many spheres. quite right in saying that there is that problem, and anyone who looks at any problem has to bear that in mind. And we as the Commission, noting that there is that problem, we included in our recommendations that the Department should also look at private-public partnerships in order to deal with that. But also, the Department has to then try its best to make sure that it has got retention policies and practices to retain those few that that it has. And it is true that the report should have been much more comprehensive to give a picture. Unfortunately, because people are dying, we do not have the time to go, you know, and go back as far as we can, even though we can. But people are dying, and as the Human Rights Commission, the question is, what is the Commission doing now for the problem that exists now? And considering what I said at the beginning, that we do not have resources, sufficient resources, it would be very difficult for us to spread ourselves, that we need to go directly to the problem that has presented itself. And we had a complaint presented to us. The complainant was waiting for an answer. The patients were waiting for services and so on. So that urgency meant that we've got to go straight to the problem and try to deal with the problem. Then the HOD, the investigation procedures of the commission, Tanuja will also talk about this, but I would like to mention, Chairperson, that the investigation procedures of the commission are that we will collect the information, the evidence that we have. We will then present all that evidence to a person, to the department, and say, here is the evidence we have now unearthed in our investigation. Please do comment and comment on everything. And it is up to the department, head of department or anybody, to then say, listen, what you're saying here is not true, and so on. And, you know, but if they are going to keep quiet until the end of the 60 days or whatever period that we have given, which is not more than 60 days, they cannot come back to us and blame us that, listen, you know, you didn't hear me. The MEC came to us and said, but you know, you didn't give me a chance to state my case, and we have tons and tons of proof of service to his PA, to his email, to saying, here is the case, please get back to us and respond to us, and so on. We will never be able to do our work successfully if we'll have to wait until a person says, yes, I have received this thing, and so on. So on the one hand, yes, we need to go back to the head of department. On the other hand, Chairperson, there is a procedure that enables us to give a hearing to the head of department to answer to things that we put in front of them. And if they do not raise issues about some of the things, we assume that they accept those things. But in this particular case, Tanuja will comment. And then, yes, there was also a suggestion that the 10 days we gave was very limited. We spent half a day discussing the 10 days, whether or not we should fix the 10 days or not, because we realized that we need to afford the department a fair opportunity to respond to the what we call. But on the other hand, we have this problem that our job is to protect rights, and here are people faced with actual death, and therefore that if we're going to wait for 60 days, how many more will be beyond the stage of treatment? How many more will have died, and so on? And so we were constrained to then limit it to 10 days, and we met with the MEC thereafter, and we told him that, yes, these are the reasons we put 10 days, but yes, do what you can to comply with this, and we gave him a further deadline. But these are absolutely critical, give those to us, yes, the others, you can give them to us on the 30th of June and so on. And he was happy with that arrangement. Tanuja will also talk about the question relating to monitoring. You know, that staff were constrained from continuing to monitor. But at the moment, may I, with your permission, Chairperson, ask Commissioner Gang to deal with some of the legal... Okay. Yes.
Is made and there's no action on it, what happens then? Now, you know, we, the Human Rights Commission, do have the power to litigate, both by way of interdict and by way of a declarator. So we can come into the arena and we should. I think we are a new commission, so it's a bit too soon. No matter has really come to us for litigation, but I do hope that we will be able to play a bigger role and be more proactive in litigation. I think one of the problems is that the Human Rights Commission is not well known in our society, and people do not know that they can access the commission. So what we need to do to begin with, we need to popularize the Human Rights Commission. People in our country need to know that there is a commission and they can take matters to the commission for action when they need to. I think that we need to consider how we're going to go and popularize the Human Rights Commission, because the Human Rights Commission can play a very vital role. And I was in Parliament when we passed the Act, and I know at that stage we expected the Human Rights Commission to play a much bigger role in society. That's why we made it proactive both by litigation and a declarator. And as I said, unfortunately, not many matters have come forward. And of course, the resources is another problem, but we need to address that, and we need to make the Human Rights Commission much more visible and much more proactive. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I've been asked to address the matters of the binding nature of our powers, and secondly, the powers and function responsibility in this regard of the National Minister, vis-à-vis that of the provincial departments. In response, I think, both to the questions of Honourable Steyn. As far as the binding nature or the nature of our powers are concerned, we are of the position, or our position is that our powers, when we make findings and recommendations, are indeed of a binding nature. It is a question of interpreting now if there is, and to what extent there is, a difference between taking remedial action in the EFF case. The Constitutional Court decided that if you take remedial action, the powers of the public protector, then that is of a binding nature. And then in our case, our powers specifically say taking steps to secure appropriate redress. In our view, in putting together a report with findings and recommendations, that is indeed taking steps to secure appropriate redress, and that is also of a binding nature. But obviously a court hasn't taken a decision in the case of our powers as to specifically whether it is binding or not. Then, and as alluded to by the Deputy Chair as well, we still have the powers in terms of our own legislation also to take matters to court in our own name or to assist individuals and parties to do that as well. As far as the powers of the National Minister vis-à-vis that of the MEC are concerned, in general one can say that the default position is that the National Minister makes policy, supports, does oversight, monitor and coordinate, and that in the case of the provinces, they are actually, as far as health is concerned, similar to education and other Schedule 4 matters in terms of the Constitution,
They are the agents, I always call them the agents of delivery. So they deliver and implement. And the source really of those powers are Section 125.2b of the Constitution, as far as the National Executive Authority is concerned, and Section 85.2 of the Constitution pertaining to the executive authority of, that is the National Executive Authority, and the other one, Section 125, that of provinces. So in terms of Section 125.2b, dealing with provinces, it specifically states the implementation, so then the delivery as such, of all national legislation within the functional areas listed in Schedule 4, and one of those functional areas is the matter of health. So that is a constitutional background, but then if you look at the national legislation, then Section 3 of the National Health Act actually reaffirms this position, read together with Section 25 of the National Health Act, where Section 3 specifically deals with the minister's competencies to determine policies and measures necessary to protect, promote, improve and maintain the health and well-being of the population. And if you look at the MEC's powers in terms of Section 25, the provincial MEC's powers, then it says inter alia that the relevant member of the Executive Council must ensure the implementation of national health policy, norms and standards in his or her province, provide specialized hospital services, plan, coordinate and monitor health services, and evaluate the rendering of health services, plan, manage and develop human resources for the rendering of health services, and so on and so forth. So once again, one can see that to a large extent it is the national minister who does monitoring. Yes, he has a very specific role in that regard, in terms of coordination, in terms of monitoring, in terms of policy making, but the real agents of delivery are the provinces. At our report on page 40 onwards, you will see the national policies that have been developed. There is the National Policy on Quality in Healthcare, 2007, and there are the National Core Standards for Health Establishment in South Africa, which are both national policy matters, national policies that have been developed. So in that, in the sense that the national minister also, I think, has a very important role, is when it comes to national norms and standards and so on. And if there are gaps as far as that is concerned, then that will have to be addressed so that one can see what exactly the national norms and standards are, and then obviously the provinces will have to act in terms of that and accordingly and deliver the necessary services, as was also the subject matter of this investigation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. In regard to the question that was raised regarding the visits to the hospitals and whether they were informed or done as a surprise visit, the visits both to the Addington and Albert Luthuli Hospital were done impromptu, without any notification to the hospitals. And we engaged with relevant officials after gaining permission from the person in charge of or acting as CEO during that period. There was another question that was raised regarding the issue of the 9 months or the waiting period, and that during that waiting period there would be treatment provided to a patient. Unfortunately, during the waiting period, there is no treatment that is actually being given to a patient. What does happen, however, is that the staff would manage the pain of the patient or alternatively place them under palliative care. And so that is quite problematic, because when there are spaces that then become available, for example, a patient doesn't attend their appointment, the hospital staff would then contact the family to inquire, and very often it is found that they have died. And so there is no specific treatment that is given during the waiting time. There was also the question that was raised regarding the response by the Department of Health, and reference was made to paragraph 3.13.15, and whether we had given a further opportunity to the department to respond, and we didn't. We noted it in our report. It was a response in respect of our preliminary report, where they disputed that the machines were in fact working, were actually working. In our assessment of the matter, however, what we established from our interviews with both staff as well as patients, and if I take you to page 55, the footnote there, you would note that in terms of our interview, specifically patient 4 had to miss his appointment or not be taken in for his treatment simply because the machines were not working. During our interviewing processes as well, we were informed that patients had to contact the hospital at least 3 days in advance to establish if the machines were working in order that they could then get and receive the necessary treatment. So in that regard, we felt that in terms of our assessment, we would note the concerns or the dispute by the Department of Health, but we also put in the information regarding our interviews with both patients and staff. Thank you.
No, thank you. Thank you very much. It has been quite an informative process, which also entitles us to raise some areas where we are concerned. Only one question that you didn't respond to, among others, was which I think was asked by Honorable Mahlalele, if I'm not mistaken, Honorable Ndaba, that have you communicated with the Office of the Health and Compliance? Because remember that the mandate of the Office of the Health and Compliance is also to do inspections. Whether they haven't or what is their view? If they haven't, we think that it's one of the offices, it's one of the entities that have then been given that responsibility. As you responded, Advocate Machola, you raised issues that are quite interesting, that people are leaving and go to other areas with better equipment. It would have been better. It's only that you said they've not visited you. You relied on on what they are saying. That is why the question that then, it would have been better if you have visited some other, maybe as you say, you have got a problem of resources. Which are those areas that they think have got better equipment? They said they leave because they want to go to areas that have got better equipment. I must not assume that, okay, better equipment, maybe at Livingston Hospital, in Port Elizabeth. I'm just making an example. So I'm trying to say our concern and questions, among others, as much as it is KZN that is on the spotlight, but the issue of health sector, oncology in particular, is a national issue. And it differs from one province to another. You will find that it's different here in Cape Town, not in the Western Cape. You see the difference that as much as it will be much better in Durban, I'm making an example, than in the other areas. It will be much better in Port Elizabeth area than at Umtata. So I'm saying this is a case study, but it's a case study that will have to as maybe at the time that you are to come back, or as you move forward, because ourselves also, we're not raising these questions because we're insensitive that people are dying. We can never, as this committee, we are sensitive, but we want to have a balance so that when we go in, because we are to go in, that's why I'm a bit uncomfortable about, because that is not the view of the Portfolio Committee on Health, on what Honorable Steyn said, that the Department of KZN is lying, because we have not listened to them yet. We have not gone and conduct an oversight, because we are to do that. And the unfortunate part is that she is not a member of this committee. And I'm not implying that there are not shortcomings, but I think I need to put this on record, that is not the view of this committee, that the department is lying. Until we sit down with the department, until we go physically for a conduct, to conduct our oversight, we will then be able to say without any fear or favor, to say to the department, no, we were there. And it's not that we are doubting your report. So it's the first time that we are interacting with you. Your report is also empowering us. I've noted Honorable Stein. Do you want to comment?
Yes, please, Chair, if I may, since my name was mentioned. Chair, it's also not my own thumbsuck that the Department of KZN is lying. I made that observation out of the reports, and that's why I'm saying maybe lying is not the correct word. Maybe the word false information or wrong information is being provided to the Human Rights Commission. I read that out of the report, because in the responses from the Department of Health, from KZN, they would say all the machines are working. Then the commission would go back and check. They will see that the machines are not working. They will get reports from the patients that they must phone to find out if the machines are working so that they can go. It's not what I'm saying. It's the report. And then, Chairperson, I further have information from the Honourable Kika that, and it's for you to follow that up. Don't go on what I say he said. The portfolio of health in KZN went to visit the KZN hospitals last week, and there is no treatment of oncology patients at the moment in KZN. So we can't sit and discuss a report. It's not my work, Chair, to tell you in the health committee and as the chairperson what to do. I am just concerned that, as I said, this has started before 2014. Before 2014. We have now found a report which basically said there is no treatment. So, Chair, I don't want to come and overtake your portfolio. It's not my. I'm really just very concerned that health treatment is not taking place in KZN for oncology patients. It is a curable disease if found soon enough. And patients have to sit and wait. Are we waiting for what?
Stein, I want you to understand. I was saying, it's only that Ghanaian African Sprotney and English is my second language. We, as this committee, we have not interacted with KZN. We, as this committee, we have not interacted with the Portfolio Committee on Health. We, as this committee, we can't lead. I will take that as still allegations and hearsay. We can't. We have got that responsibility. On behalf of this committee, I've got that responsibility to raise that whatever word you said, it can't be taken as that it is the view of the Portfolio Committee on Health, because we have not met with the department. We have not conducted oversight. It's not that we will be afraid to tell the department of what we have seen, of what we have observed. We have got that responsibility. So that's where I said, because tomorrow it must not be that it is this portfolio, because it will be unfair to the Department of Health in KZN, and I want to make it on record, we are not defensive of any province in this committee where things are not going right. I think as is there something that you want to say, advocate?
Chairperson, members, Thank you for the opportunity. It was just briefly with regard to where the oncologists go. You know, I think that the department would be in a much better position to track them because they have got their contact details and what have you. But when we spoke with the MEC, he told us that they were going into the private sector, in private hospitals, in the area and outside the area. But to trace individuals as to where exactly they are, I think the department would be in a better position. And then finally, I just wanted to read the concluding paragraph of the submission that was made by the department, the provincial department on 25 May 2017. And the conclusion, it says in conclusion, KZN Health Oncology Services are in a crisis. This is the word from the department itself. The major challenge currently is the shortage of appropriately trained doctors and not the availability of functional medical equipment. Various solutions have been tried without success, but there is a commitment from all oncologists, in brackets, public and private, to finding a solution, end quote. Thank you.
I think it's important, you know, I always say, because I'm a former health worker, health by its nature is very emotive. But also it's very dangerous if we will have to provide leadership on the basis of our emotions. We will have to ensure that we are cool and say things and say facts, because you can't lead on things that are on media. We can't lead on things that are on media, make an example. But we are to lead, and I want to emphasize, we will be, okay, we can't come to a conclusion. Yes, there is a crisis in KZN, but we're for the responsibility of going and measure that crisis. And I want everybody not to misunderstand that, as I'm saying that, I'm saying there is no crisis. We haven't responded on the issue of the Office of the Health Standard Compliance. I will allow Mahlalela to speak. Then after that, you will also. Because maybe there is an area where you are to respond on his contribution. Honourable Mahlalela.
No, mine is not a question, sir. I think we're deviating from the main purpose of why we're meeting today. The main purpose was to get the presentation by the compiler of the report and us seeking clarity. Once we enter into the correctness and not correctness, we're then entering into a space that we're not supposed to. The next approach is to call the department, get their views, raise whatsoever issues, there are issues that the Human Rights Commission is raising. We must give them an opportunity to respond on those issues. And once they've responded, we can then make our own determination. We can argue whether there's a head crisis or what and all those, never having had both sides. But we can't arrive at a determination on the basis of one side of the story without having given the other side of the story and begin to debate that matter. I don't think that's the approach that we have agreed upon. The next approach is to call the department, both nationally and provincially, to come and account, take us through with their own interpretation and understanding of the report, including some of the issues that the human rights is raising, the issue that Ms. Dane is raising, that no, there are contradicting reports. If you read the report, for example, it tells you with Engwelezane, they said this, and then the next time they said something contrary to what they said in the first, and is there in the report, some of the factual information that they've given the two reports doesn't relate to each other. They must come and explain why. Then based on that, we can then take a posture or a position on this matter.
Honorable Mahlalela,
Honourable Mason.
We appreciate that they came here, the human rights people, to give us a report about what they found out. They did do some investigation. We don't doubt their bona fide and the facts that they are giving us, but the facts have to be verified. And we are here not to be judgmental. We are just listening to what they are saying, and we listen to all stakeholders. And when we have satisfied ourselves, if need be, we go in situ to go and verify ourselves. So it's not a matter of somebody reports and then we are not it's not an inquisition here. We are merely listening to what you're saying, and we call other people to come and account. And when we're finished, we don't believe, or we believe, we go and verify ourselves. And then we can say, these are the steps, that remedial steps that we think must be taken. But to hear one side and we run and say, yeah, what are we waiting for, is we don't appreciate how we work. But we all learn. Nobody is absolutely wrong. Thank you.
Chairperson, yes, again, it's up to the members of this committee to decide. I just want to also make this committee aware that one of your members did go to KZN. Unfortunately, she can't be here today, Honourable Kobane, and she was denied access to the hospitals to go and see for herself. So I think, Chair, we must also raise that at future, because members of committees, Parliament has the right, even I can go to KZN and go and verify for myself if I feel like that. And that in itself, I think, is a problem, that maybe when you do call, the department needs to be taken up with them, because if they deny members of Parliament access to go and verify for themselves while the processes are ongoing, it's problematic. Chair, I just think we take too long while we're talking and waiting and calling. People are dying.
Chairman, I'm saying we're deviating from what the purpose of the meeting is. It's very unfortunate, you see. We've not mandated as this committee anybody to visit any institution. And the right of a member doesn't rest with us as a portfolio committee. It rests with Parliament. So if there is a complaint about the member wanted to visit an institution and was blocked, he or she must raise the matter with Parliament, with us as a portfolio committee, because we have never mandated anybody to do this on our behalf. So we can't raise it as a matter ourselves, as if we've mandated anybody to do so. What will be the basis of that?
Can I request members that we leave it at that, because it's in me trying to protect the committee in some of the assertions being made. We may have bordered into really, maybe Honourable Mahlala is correct, so can that we are really deviating, but can we rest it there in terms of the other issues that have been raised. Advocate, do you want to raise that?
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. You had correctly pointed out that there was a question we didn't answer. There are actually two, and I just for the record wanted to answer. With regard to the Office of the National Health Standards, to say that we really did not engage with them except to make them have a copy of our report. Then the second one was with regard to monitoring. In terms of the Constitution, we're required to monitor the observance of human rights, and the office in Durban has tried to go back to the hospitals to see, having received what the department says is happening, to go and see, to monitor whether it is happening they have been denied the word of God, the access. However, I would like to say, to apologize to you for actually creating a wrong impression that what I was reading was from the newspaper. It is from the Department of Health in KwaZulu-Natal, not from the newspaper. And I'm told that it was circulated, what I was reading. So it's not from the media. It is officially from them to us, by the department itself, just to correct the record. Secondly, with regard to Honorable Masilela, whom I thank for having clarified the issue of the alteram partem that we are aware of, we answered the question what we expect the committee to do. We were called by the committee. We didn't bring ourselves to the committee. Commissioner Gum has explained that the committee believes that its own recommendations are binding, and we've got the power to go to court to enforce those, what you call. So our aim was actually to come to help the committee understand where we came from with our report, but not with regard to the enforcement of our recommendations. We therefore do not wish to express any prescriptions to the committee. We respect the committee. It will do its work as it deems fit and best, but we are not suggesting that the committee take any decision. This is what we have done, as we are required to account to Parliament, but how we proceed to enforce our own decisions, I've indicated that we're even looking at going to court. We're not asking the committee to do anything to enforce our recommendations. Thank you.
Honorable Gum? I'm sorry, Mr. Gum. He was once a member of Parliament.
Sorry. Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, just to add to what the Chair said, I think this is also about shaping. We are shaping a new relationship between the Commission on the one hand and Parliament on the other. I think in the past there hasn't been enough interaction at all between the Human Rights Commission and Parliament, and that should change. We come here because we are accountable to Parliament. The Commission is accountable to Parliament, so we have to come and explain to you what we have done, how we came to our findings, and so on. In turn, the departments are also accountable to Parliament. So the Department of Health is also accountable to you. So in that sense, the proper way of doing things is, of course, now to say, the Human Rights Commission tell us this, you know, what is your position? So I think it's also a process of shaping a new relationship between the Commission and its work and Parliament, and that's a very good thing, and thank you for the opportunity.
No, thank you very much. Advocate, I was not referring to your information in terms of media. I was not referring, I was making an example, and our apologies if there was not that misunderstanding. Secondly, you also do have a right to write to the committee and say we would like, so it's not a one-way process, it's a two-way process. Two, I do think that we have listened to you. I was going to then raise what Honorable Makhlaela was raising when we were closing that. It's not, we are still going to ask, call the department. So it's those are the stages that we are going to follow. But you will understand that health by its nature is a very emotive subject, and all people that are dealing with it are to understand in that. Safe to say that you people say you are not looking into the medical part. To us, any machine, any person that you talk to, which is in the health sector, will always be medical. Even if it's that general assistant that you are talking to, I make an example. So we always look into the sector in that way, whether it is that we know that administration and clinical, they are to work together. You never have a health sector that is executing its mandate if clinical is not talking to administration and administration talking to clinical. So it is so, we don't separate the two. We always find it difficult to separate the two. Honorable members, I think we had quite a very informative session. We will then have to, we'll again have to, we're going to call the department, listen to the department, interact with the department, and then we will then decide what we are to do, and we'll come to our to our conclusions when we have combed it with a fine comb, because with what we do, but I want to, so that everybody lives here with that understanding. We are sensitive, we are committed to ensure that in this administration and this committee, people don't just die. There are other questions that I would have asked you, but I don't want to take you outside, because the health sector is quite a sector that when you say this, you must be able to understand what is the next step. That is why Honorable myself was trying, was gravitating to. Having said that, thank you very much. Unfortunately, we don't have lunch. We only have tea. Travel well to KZN. And I don't think it's going to be the last time that we see one another. Thank you very much. I think Honorable members, we have come to the end of our...